This is a reading from the scripture of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
The tomb that we're talking about here is one that was owned by Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was convinced that Jesus was dead. He needed no further evidence. No further evidence. As a member of the high council, he had seen it coming for quite some time. Even up until the time that the council, after Jesus' arrest, interrogated him ruthlessly. And then there was that little payoff arrangement with Judas that Joseph would have seen. And the political pressure, that tipped the scales of justice. You remember the conversation with Pilate? Oh, do we have any king but Caesar? Jesus' flogging, the mob's demand for crucifixion, all of this was evidence enough for Joseph. Anyone gathering evidence would know that the end of Jesus' life was approaching if it were nothing but the flogging alone, which nearly killed him. In Joseph's mind, it was questionable whether Jesus would even survive carrying his cross up that hill. Over the course of that fated day, Jesus' life was slowly ebbing away. Everyone there knew he was dead before the centurion thrust his sword into his side. Everyone knew that he was gone. So why? Gathering evidence, I suppose. One account says that blood and water mixed together flowed from his side, and that was confirmation enough. Joseph asked Pilate's permission to remove Jesus' body from the cross for a quick burial, seeing that the Sabbath was quickly approaching at the evening of that day. Hastily, they wrapped Jesus in a linen cloth, limp, emaciated, ashen. Have you ever seen anybody that was ashen in their skin tone? Eyes fixed, no voice, no breath, signs that mark death. Joseph, convinced that Jesus was dead, placed him inside the tomb and had the stone rolled into place. He had gathered all the evidence that was necessary. Jesus was dead. The women who had followed Jesus from Galilee back to Jerusalem had gathered all the evidence that they needed. They knew Jesus was gone. They saw the tomb. They observed. even coming closer. They saw his body had been laid there on a cold slab at the end of that pitiful day. Immediately they made plans for tahara, the Jewish ritual of caring for the dead. And they planned to do it the morning after the Sabbath. Nobody did anything on the Sabbath except maybe mix a few spices for that precious sacrament. They approached the tomb early that morning, their minds filled with sorrow and the finality, the absolute finality of death. They were not searching for evidence, but the whole earth seemed to shift when they realized that the stone had been rolled away. Immediately they began to gather more evidence. Jesus wasn't in the tomb. As their minds raced to make sense of this, two visitors appeared. Heavenly beings, no doubt. Artists have had a hard time with this. They always add wings to angels, right? I mean, how do you do it? You know, how do you paint an angel? The scripture doesn't mention anything about wings. But light, lots of light. Before the women could form a question, these heavenly beings asked, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. Remember what he said?" The women were startled, to say the least. But they had new evidence. And immediately they went to report what they had seen to the 11 disciples. The disciples were incredulous, and they counted this a fanciful tale. But Peter, bless Peter's heart, Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping to look in, he confirmed that Jesus was gone. The grave cloths were lying there by themselves, and he was breathless from the run, but also from the possibility, just the possibility, of what might be happening. He took a deep breath and remembered Jesus' words that he had spoken many times in gathering with the disciples, that he would be arrested and that he would be killed by the authorities, and that on the third day, do y'all know what happened? He would be raised. I love the story that I heard about a Hindu man who went to hear E. Stanley Jones, a famous Methodist missionary to India. Years ago, Dr. Jones was quite a spokesperson. In fact, it may surprise you to know that E. Stanley Jones preached from this very pulpit here at Pittman Park. This very pulpit. Boy, that's humbling. He spoke with such conviction and clarity about the love of God revealed in Christ that, as the story goes, one Hindu man, a respected man of religious position, who had heard him speak that night, went back to his hotel room and sought to lay down and go to sleep, and woke up at midnight, shaking his head, saying, "This isn't true. This isn't true." By 1 in the morning, he was speaking to himself, and he was saying, "Is it possible that this is true?" At 3 in the morning, he was saying to himself, "If this isn't true, it should be true." And by the break of day, as he reported this to E. Stanley Jones, he said, "My heart proclaimed, it is true. It is true." Case closed. Now that is Easter. One more story. A few years back, a communist lecturer in Russia was speaking to an audience, and his words to his audience were, "Jesus never existed. There is no God. There is no Holy Spirit. And the church is oppressive. The future belongs to the state." And at that point, an old priest of the Orthodox faith stood up mid-room and he said, "Sir, I have but two words to speak to you." In English translation, it's three words. And what he shouted, the entire room heard, "Christ is risen!" And with that, every single person in the audience stood and responded,
"Christ is risen indeed."
Case closed. Now that is Easter.